Welcome to True Crime from A to Z. I'm Sydney.
And I'm Shakira.
So, today Shakira has a tragic story to tell you, which means that she has to dive deep into emotions again. So, I don't know much about this case, so I am interested to find out what this emotional roller coaster ride is, along with you guys.
It is an emotional roller coaster, let me tell you. So, you're in for something.
Okay, let's do this.
So this content may be of a graphic nature, and it may not be suitable for all audiences. There is a shooting and some sad details along with it. So if that's something that really bothers you, you may need to skip this one.
Hey, this is Steve from Great Lakes True Crime. We tell stories from Ohio and the rest of the Lower Great Lakes region. Give us a listen on your favorite podcast app. And follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Just search for Great Lakes True Crime.
Movies inspired by real crimes. Cruise ship deaths and disappearances. Crimes that shape the course of history. And crimes involving families.
These are just a few of the series you can find on Corpus Delicti. Corpus Delicti is a weekly true crime podcast that takes a series approach, spending several weeks at a time discussing crime within a certain topic.
Hosted by two Southern Belles, we bring you compelling stories with a hint of Southern charm. Sometimes the stories will make you cry. Sometimes you might even laugh, but they're stories you won't want to miss.
Find Corpus Delicti on your favorite podcast app by searching for CORPUSDELICTI and join us every Tuesday. Hope to see you then.
All right, so today I am going to be telling you about Police Constable John Davidson. So let's do this. So John Davidson was born in Hoyoke, Scotland. Which is such a name. Okay. It's spelled so different.
Mm-hmm. It truly is, seriously. It's a cool name, though.
Yeah, it is. On December 10th, 1963, so again, I guess he was just a very big Christmas present. I think the last guy I talked about was, too. Mm-hmm. To parents.
Yes, we like Christmas babies, apparently.
Christmas babies. So he was born to parents James Elliot Davidson, or as his family called him, Pim, which, cute. And Margaret Isabel Davidson. He was the fourth of six kids. Whew, that's a lot of children. And my family's
that is
big,
a lot of kids.
So for me to say that, because, you know, I married into a big family, but that's a lot of kids. Their names are Keith, Linda, Sheila, Isabel, and Jamie. So after graduating high school in 1981, John completed a short stint with the Royal Air Force, which, I mean, how cool is it that, you know, he later becomes a police officer, but he also served in the Air Force?
Yeah, that is awesome.
I really like it.
Because we definitely need every military person that we can get.
Absolutely. He then left, though, after that stint to go to college in England, which I totally get, because that's a lot of the time what people end up having to do so that they can actually go to college. Where he graduated in 1987 after 4 years with a BED honors degree in physical education.
Oh, awesome. That is so cool.
Right? He had several coaching, teaching, and referee certifications as well. So as you can tell, he was majorly into health and fitness from just what I said
Which is awesome.
Uh-huh. That's always a good thing to be into because it means that you're going to live a pretty healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, and that's super important. We especially see that in today's world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because so many unhealthy things happen, and it's nice to have a healthy lifestyle. He had several coaching, teaching, referee certificates, so he did a lot of jobs at schools. He gained a passion for helping and teaching children. How awesome is that? I just love
that is
people
so cool.
Who want to help mold children and help, you know, help do that for people.
Because if you don't have people that are there to help teach and help the kids grow, then how are we going to have a better tomorrow? Because our kids of today are going to be our leaders and adults of tomorrow. I know that's an overused saying, but it's so true.
It is so true.
Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for people like him that are willing and able to be the ones that teach our children.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. He had met the love of his life back in 1983 at Avery Hill University. It was his wife, Denise. They had three children in 1991, 1993, and 1997. And they were married June 11th, 2001. And from what I have heard, they had one of those relationships that everyone's just like, oh my gosh, you guys are perfect. You know, one of those kind of relationships where they adored each other. They just adored each other. You know, it seemed like with them, the love just never died. And I love that.
That is so awesome. That's the kind of marriage that I hope that me and my husband can continue to have.
Same with me.
I think we have a good marriage, but I hope we can continue to build it and grow it and have it like that.
Exactly, same.
Because that is awesome.
Same. So going back just a little from the marriage, he was hired by the Northbridge Police Department in England in 1994, where he worked in the motor patrol section, where he was responsible for the investigations of fatal and serious motor vehicle accidents, which I mean, that would be a tough job, but I'm glad people are there to do that, because basically he needed to figure out if it was alcohol involved or if someone had a seizure or what was going on. And I'm glad that he was willing to do that.
That's a really important job. And there's some jobs like this that may not always seem like they're that big of a deal, but it truly is important, and I'm grateful for him. That is a good, honorable job.
It really is. But here's the cool part. He was also part of the public safety unit, so he didn't just have one job.
That is awesome. He has many hats.
Yep, where he trained in crowd and riot control, which oftentimes were at wildly attended soccer matches, which that just gave me a smile.
That's awesome.
Because I'm just like, you know, people That's drink awesome. There, people, you know, have team rivalries. And so I can understand why that would be something that needed to be taken.
And the UK, they are very passionate about their sport, about
Absolutely.
Soccer. And so when you have passionate fans, you need to have someone that is trained in crowd and riot control, because you will have riots when you have crazy crowds, when you have passionate fans, which is great to have passionate fans. It's just the ones that go overboard that get worrisome.
Like, oh, boy. He was an active sergeant who also trained many new members. So he was all over the place in this police department.
That is awesome.
That is great.
It sounds like where they needed him, he was willing and ready and happy to be able to help.
That's what it sounds like to me, too. And you're going to love this. During this time, he was given a commendation for physically saving the life of a suicidal woman who had jumped into a river. He jumped in after her and saved her life.
That is awesome, because suicide is such a hard subject because they're in such a hard place, but it's so important that everyone has someone that is looking after for them. And it's great that he, even though he just happened to be there, it sounds like, but he took the initiative and helped this woman out. And hopefully she has realized that she is important too.
She is grateful that she is still alive, because I know that it's a very touchy subject to go into suicide. A lot of the times people regret it the moment that they've done it. Like, a lot of people, once they've already jumped or done whatever, they have that split second of, oh no, what did I do? And it's just great that hopefully she got help, she got whatever she needed, and that she's actually...
And now she has a second chance.
Yeah, she had a second chance. And I hope that she's grateful that he was able to give her that. I hope she isn't suffering that way anymore, and that she's actually happy that he did what he did, so that it wasn't something that, you know, she didn't want, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But it still shows his character, which is the important part.
It does show his character because he did get a commendation for it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I loved that. In February 2006, John moved his family to Canada from Whitley Bay near Newcastle, England, because of loving the outdoors and scenery. He was a fitness fanatic who loved to run. And so I can agree with both things. Like, Canada is gorgeous. And so I could totally see it because of, like, loving the outdoors and the scenery. And with him being a fitness fanatic and loving to run, that's a great place to be.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful place. The places that I've seen of Canada are just amazing. I just love it. It's very open. On the East Coast, it's super open because it's not really any mountains. And so it's a beautiful open space to be able to run. And then the West Coast has beautiful mountains and BC is gorgeous.
Well, BC is actually where he moved to, is they talked about it.
Okay. BC is especially well known for its beauty.
Yeah.
So no wonder he moved there.
Exactly. Okay, now this part I think you will get a very big kick out of. He would ask others to come with him on his runs. He would say it would be just a quick one, which was a lie.
Oh boy.
I feel he really enjoyed when they finally realized that he had tricked them.
Oh no.
How funny is that? Because from what I gathered, he did it on purpose. He told them on purpose, oh, it'll just be a quick one. And then he would just keep going and
he would wait
for them to realize, oh no, he lied to me.
what a
funny trick, though.
That is too funny. I agree. That is awesome. What a goofy guy.
Yeah, what a goofy guy. The whole clan, which is actually what he called his family, was the clan.
That's awesome.
Like that a lot. The whole clan officially moved to Canada, BC, on April 29th, 2006. And John was hired as an experienced police officer on March 3rd, 2006. His wife, Denise, and his adult children, Drew, Dina, and Faye, were his pride and joy, and in the same way, he was their pride and joy. His family adored him and were proud to have him as a husband and father. And I've heard that when the girls would talk about their dad, their eyes would just light up. And that's cute enough.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is cute enough when they're little, but these are his adult children who would light up when they talked about him.
That's even better because I love the look that the babies give their parents, but because just natural that you
sometimes grow away from your parents.
You're not as close to your parents as you are when you're younger, and you're independent. You're able to do things on your own, and that's what your parents want. When kids still have that gleam in their eye for their parents.
Admiration.
That says a lot about a person. And that is so awesome.
He was so proud to be a husband and father and police officer. And he was good at all of these roles in his life.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He worked in schools and loved helping kids. People described him as a big kid in a man's body.
Oh, boy. It's awesome.
Yeah. But Sergeant Jason Scott, a co-worker, joked that that wasn't true, that he was more of a big kid in a kid's body. A joke because John was not a big built guy.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
And I honestly think that John got a big kick or a big smile out of that. Even though Sergeant Scott was not a huge guy, he would call Constable John Davidson little guy.
That's awesome. I love nicknames like that. They're so funny.
Too. So we're going to jump to November 6, 2017, where unfortunately tragedy struck. Constable John Davidson responded to a call about a stolen car at around 11:30 a.m. in a parking lot of a strip mall in 2300 block of Mount Lehman Road, according to the Vancouver Sun. That is like the only thing I directly took, so I wanted to make sure to put out where I had found that because I had no idea where it happened. The car in question was a 2016 Ford Mustang that was stolen from a MSA Ford dealership the Saturday before. So this was that Monday. So it was like a day and a half difference or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was stolen during a test drive, and some dealership employees spotted the car and called the police. Before the police got there, it has been said that the suspect returned to the car with a shotgun and started firing on the employees who had called and bystanders.
Oh my gosh.
So that's scary.
What in the world?
Right?
Yeah. That's what?
Yeah. And from what I have
gathered,
that
just seems so uncalled for.
For real. And from what I've gathered, nobody got hurt or anything in that exchange, though.
Okay, thank heavens.
Thanks heavens for that. When the officers did arrive on the scene, a gunfire exchange ensued. And I'm going to mention something that I have not been able to find concrete proof of, but I thought I would add at the end just because I had seen a source that said it. But I don't want to put it here because I cannot find like a full thing saying like, yes, this is fact. So I'm going to put that till the end. At the end.
Okay.
But a gunfire exchange ensued and John Davidson was shot twice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was transported to the hospital, but was unfortunately pronounced dead not long after arriving.
Oh, no.
Heartbreaking. It really is. An autopsy was done on Const John Davidson, and it was found that either one of the shots would have been fatal by themselves. But with both, he really hadn't had a chance of surviving.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that's awful.
That is awful. It breaks my heart. It just totally breaks my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine like that call to his family, like his wife and his kids, just how devastating that would be.
Oh yeah, that is seriously the worst call. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine of a worse call. Mm-hmm. Because being a serviceman of the law, you're being the wife of the serviceman. You're like,
you
always so scared every day.
But you don't want to know that it's a possibility. Like there's a part of
you.
Yeah,
you always
let it be.
You're always praying that they come home.
Yep.
You always pray that they'll come home. You always pray and then to get that call.
So,
would be the worst.
It would be. The suspect was then chased down by police and arrested after a collision at the intersection of Mount Lehman Road and Fraser Highway. And can I just say that really upset me because as I know it happens, but he endangered so many other lives by running that way. Like, what if somebody else had gotten hit in the collision? Mm-hmm. Or like, because they didn't say anything about anyone else getting hurt. But what if, like, you know, there's always that possibility when these high-speed chases happen or these chases at all happen. And that bothered me so bad.
The unfortunate thing is, because I totally agree. I hate the more that people take lives into their own hands by doing something dangerous, whether it's shooting, whether it's doing a high-speed chase.
Yeah, exactly.
It's terrible, but I don't think they think about that.
I don't think
all
so
they're
either.
Thinking about is, oh, crap, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, for real.
I got to get away for the cop.
That's it, too, is I don't want to be arrested.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible. It's just like, how selfish can you be to just be like, ah, whatever, I'm just gonna run.
Mm-hmm.
He was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries and charged with first-degree murder upon release.
So we are gonna take a break for a moment to hear a word from our sponsors at this time, and then we will tell you about the aftermath and the funeral. Okay, welcome back. We're going to continue on.
Okay, so just to make sure that you guys are all caught up, the perp was arrested after a high-speed chase, and unfortunately, Constable John has been shot to death. So this is his funeral that we are going to be discussing now. Everyone from the Mounties in their regular uniforms, which is the red uniforms, and black and blue uniformed officers led a hearse in procession, keeping guard of the blessed man whose life was taken in such an act of hatred and malice. In the life sketch, Sergeant Scott said that he imagined what John would be saying while seeing the thousands that gathered for his funeral, he would be saying, "What the heck are you all doing here?" And he also said, "He is probably swearing at us right now, and he is also the reason that it is raining." That made me smile.
Oh my. I love it when people like bring a little quirky parts of people's personalities into funerals to lighten the mood a little bit.
He did
like
mention,
that. It's perfect.
Yeah. He did mention in the funeral, because they did do a live funeral, which I watched quite a bit of it. The link will be there, is that John would have wanted everyone to laugh. That he felt like laughing was a big part of the mourning process as well. So he wanted to make sure
that it is a great way to be able to mourn. That is for sure.
Mm-hmm. So the reason that he said that he's probably swearing at us right now and is the reason it is raining is because of how big of an affair the funeral had become, when John was a very simplistic kind of man when it came to these kinds of things. So the fact that thousands were there, he'd probably be like, "I don't want this." His wife, yeah.
He was a very humble man.
He really was. His wife described their family motto, and I think you'll really like this, Sydney, is wisely if sincerely. I love that motto.
That is cool.
So a little bit about the man who did this and the trial we will now talk about. The man arrested for the murder of Constant John Davidson was 65-year-old retired truck driver Oscar Arfman, who surprisingly had no prior offenses and nothing to show except for the stealing of that car, that he had any criminal, like, that he would have done anything criminal.
Really?
So that's really weird. He had no prior
offenses.
That's
crazy.
And, you know, there was nothing to say that he would do something like this.
So there wasn't any, like, aggression in his background?
Nope. No assault charges. No none of that. None of that at all.
That's crazy, because that is such a huge jump.
From nothing to
killing a cop.
And a cop murder.
And not just
exactly.
A cop. Yeah, not just a murder, but a cop, because often those are the people that people are the most scared to take on because of the backlash.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, oh my gosh. Wow.
But as I was looking up this case, I was looking at pictures of him now. And as I did, his eyes were black.
What?
Yeah, look at that real quick.
Oh my gosh. They totally are. They're black.
Okay.
What?
That's so freaky. And he honestly looks partly dead inside.
Totally,
like, he didn't feel anything. Or it's really spooky, to be honest.
That is. Oh my goodness. Because it almost looks like there might be a tint of like dark brown around the very, very edge.
Well,
it's almost like his pupil is massive.
Well, I actually looked into like older pictures that people have of him, and his eyes were brown, but not like that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bizarre. I've never heard of someone's eyes changing colors like that.
I actually have.
That's crazy.
So that's a little, it's usually when they start to go down a dark path, but it was really spooky.
Oh my, that just brings shivers.
Yeah, real. Oh. For real. So all I was able to find of him is two things that possibly could have been motives, but still it doesn't quite make sense to me. His wife did pass away. He had gone downhill afterward.
Okay. That is a breaking point for a lot of people.
Yeah, but he was also diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Not everyone with schizophrenia does something, but those are two contributing factors that are a big deal.
Yeah, but neither of those make you a killer. Because people go through
either. You can have them both, but...
Or both. Like, some go through either, some go through both, and are great people.
Yeah. Huh.
And
that is interesting.
Yeah, and I know I'm not, like, immediately, throwing out the idea of schizophrenia, but, like, that's...
It definitely is a contributing factor.
Yeah, for sure. It just doesn't make sense to me that the defense tried to say that he may not have been knowing that what he was doing was wrong. Because when he killed John Davidson, I'm inclined to not believe that, because so many people live with schizophrenia and they go through like episodes of blacking out. But although they are scared that they would hurt someone, they don't. I'm not saying like it's out of the realm of possibility, but with my experiences, because I have my own mental health issues, I have like massive anxiety and some bipolar problems. I'm just not convinced that that was like that. I can imagine it being a contributor, but I don't really buy the fact that he had no idea what he was doing was wrong.
Yeah, because you said that he didn't have like any violence in his history. So that
And schizophrenia doesn't.
Would schizophrenia all of a sudden be the reason why he killed someone? Because he would have had to have signs.
It's before. Usually there whether or not it's diagnosed. Like it's yeah. there. So it's like, why would it suddenly.
Schizophrenia is generally diagnosed when someone's little. Mm-hmm. So it's not that all of a sudden, oh, wait, now I'm schizophrenic mm-hmm. and now I'm violent. It's something that generally shows up as you go along. Most people, they show violent tendencies when they're younger.
Yeah, exactly. And he shows absolutely nothing. He shows absolutely
that is crazy.
Nothing at all to say that.
I wonder if he snapped or something. If something happened right before that, or like being caught stealing the car just made him snap. He was on the edge and that just pushed him over.
And that's a big crazy question, because it's like he jumped from 0 to 60. And so it's like, there's got to be something that made him just all of a sudden decide, oh, okay, I'm going to like do this. But I just can't pinpoint it.
Yeah, that is crazy.
So now I'm going to go into the trial. The trial showed body cam footage from the other officers as well as John Davidson. The whole entire time that it was given, the now 68-year-old Oscar Arfman, and this freaked me out, didn't move. He sat perfectly still in the prisoner's box. Just didn't move.
Hmm.
He acted like a complete statue.
That is a little freaky. That makes me wonder, because that doesn't show remorse.
Mm-mm.
That either not remorse or just so in shock that they don't understand what's going on.
Exactly. It's one of the two. But then part of it gets me even more thinking that it was the no remorse part. So Court Justice Carol Ross delivered the over 2 hour in the making guilty verdict. Officers and co-workers who worked alongside of John Davidson had packed in the courtroom shoulder to shoulder, and it was said that they made an audible sigh of relief that although it didn't bring their friend back, justice had finally been served. Well, when he was told the verdict, Oscar didn't move. He didn't look down. He didn't freak out. He just kind of shrugged in a way, or looked at them like, okay.
That just makes me think of others, like, makes me think of serial killers that...
For real.
They aren't just schizophrenic, but they are psychopaths.
Yeah, have no remorse, no...
Which is really terrifying, if that's the case for him, because psychopaths are terrifying.
They are.
People to have in society.
They are, for sure. So this one, I'm having a little bit of a hard time getting concrete proof. So if I'm wrong, we will do an update podcast on this. But I have heard that he is getting life in prison with parole in 25 years. But I've also heard that the charges will not be laid down until February 2020. So I'm going to have to do some more looking in to figure out when exactly he either got his sentence or is getting his sentence. So I do apologize that I was not able to figure out which one.
Okay. Hopefully it's life for a long time. Because he scares me.
Yeah, for real. He scares me too. For those who knew Constable John Davidson, those who knew him loved him, and his memory will live on through lives he touched during his time working in schools. And I'd like to share a quick story that they mentioned in his funeral that I just loved. So one of the students that he was working with had said that he had a huge crossroads in his life that he was about to deal with, and that it was a huge choice that he had to make. And he had asked John Davidson about what he should do. John had answered. The student decided to listen. He said that while he was contemplating, he had actually heard Davidson's voice in the back of his head while he was making this decision. And he ended up making the right choice that completely changed his life. And he says that he owes it all to him.
That is amazing.
I love
you that. Gotta have people like that that you can rely on to help give you good advice.
For real. It was so touching to hear that he had made such a difference. His memory will also live on in his wife, his three adult children, any of the marriages, and any grandchildren who will come along. He touched so many lives, and I think Sydney is with me on this, because we always are kind of in sync that way, that our thoughts are with all who knew him and loved him. And we also want to thank him for his service and his sacrifice. He truly is and will always be a hero.
Yes, for sure. He definitely is a hero. He was out there taking care of those that were on the street that day to make sure that others were not harmed.
Absolutely.
And put himself in the line of fire. Well, my thoughts. This guy just confuses me, because like you said, he went from 0 to 60. He didn't show a lot of signs of violence in his past.
Mm-mm.
Yes, his wife passed away a few years before that. And that is, I can't imagine how difficult that would be. I actively don't think about that because it would be awful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can understand that would be incredibly painful and incredibly hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to imagine how having a disorder and having such a horrible loss in your life would escalate to shooting out a bunch of people and ending up sending 2 kill shots to one person, which makes me wonder
how he missed the other one.
Was he lucky? Well, not necessarily lucky, I guess, from Constable John Davison's point of view, it was a very unlucky shot, and then missed everyone else. That's odd to me. Either that was chance, or he was not.
I will point out that he did have, up until a little while before, a concealed carry license, which makes me think he tried to miss the other people. And that he recently,
which makes him even more scary to me.
Yeah. And
if he was purposely aiming for law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. And I also should mention that his license had expired. So that would have been another crime against him.
Oh, so he was driving without a license?
Yeah, because until you actually decide.
So it really should never have happened.
Yeah. And until they decide to buy the car, they don't really look into all your ID, your stuff like that. And so it is mm-hmm. possible for him to have been able to do that.
That just makes me angry that he shouldn't have even been driving.
Exactly.
That he should.
Exactly.
That almost makes me wonder if maybe he planned it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he was purposely driving without a valid license, and then he stole it. He stole the vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and then he had a shotgun in his car.
He would eventually get caught, especially since it was a Mustang. Like people,
yeah, that's easier to spot.
They're gonna be looking for that.
Yeah, and it's gonna have a dealership license plate. It's not gonna have a real license plate, so it's not gonna be a car that's easy to hide.
Exactly.
And then he put a shotgun in the car, because mm-hmm. a dealership's car is not going to have a loaded gun in the car. So he had a gun with him. That makes me wonder if it was planned.
I will now say something, and this might send some chills down you, so be prepared, of something that has been alleged that he said right before he started shooting at the cops.
Okay.
Okay, so it has been rumored, which is why I didn't put this in the actual case, that he was in the car when the police showed up. And he rolled down his window, looked at the police, said, "I will show the cops what is in store for them," and then pulled the rifle out from under the seat and started shooting.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What in the world?
Yeah, that sent chills down my spine when I first read that.
That makes me think that it was planned.
Me too.
Which makes me wonder what in the world is going on in his head.
Yeah. They may have to pick his brains quite a bit to try to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, seriously.
Because I don't want to give anything to be negative about mental illness, because I suffer from mental illness. You've suffered from some of the depression and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing to do with mental illness. It's just whatever is up with him, it's scary.
Yeah. And it's so sad that Constable John Davidson was the one that had to have his life taken away and taken because from his family and his friends and his job, because he had such an important job that he was doing for his community, was violently taken from that.
He didn't get to see any of his kids get married. He didn't get to see grandkids. He didn't, because they were adults, but he didn't get to enjoy being a grandparent. With so many grandparents that I've talked to say that that was one of the best moments of their life, was the moment that they got grandkids.
Which is so sad.
So sad that that was taken from him.
Yeah. It's just heartbreaking.
It really is. It really is. Breaks my heart. So that is the sad, but at least we got to, give light to John so that he is not forgotten in any way, shape, or form.
Because he's definitely not, that's for sure.
But that is the sad story of what happened to him.
Yeah, and unfortunately, all stories have to come to a close.
Yeah.
And we would like to share where we got some of the sources.
They will all be linked. I did read CBC News Canada, and I also got a lot of information because he had a public funeral on YouTube that you can go into. And if you are interested to learn more about this amazing man, it is a 2-hour long video. So I didn't even get the chance to completely finish it, but it is something I would definitely check out again. And I want to eventually be able to watch the whole thing, because it's just so great to hear about the man he is, instead of having it focus on the man who took his life away from him.
The amazing man that he was. And you can find all of that on our website. And the link to our website will be in the show notes. This podcast was created and hosted by the both of us, Sydney and Shakira. The lovely Shakira did the research. And the editing and producing was by Ernest. The theme song was by Heart Song Studio. And other music by
AMBC.
And remember, give hugs,
not slugs.